What's up, guys? Sorry about the short hiatus. We're back. Episode 20 here. Special episode for you guys. This is Polar Music, where we take you guys on album deep dives. We're talking about your favorite music, our favorite music, some of your least favorite music, some of John's least favorite music. We don't really talk about other people's least favorite music because John's kind of selfish when it comes to that kind of stuff. Anyway, you already know who I am. Richie, well, Brock, you already know I like to space it out. Young father figure, joined in the stew, as always, by Nicholas Vincent Brezina and the ever so beautiful John Silvio Brezina. Nick, what's going on today?
Today, man, we got a huge episode today. Episode 20, boom. But even bigger than that, today we are joined by a very, very special guest, good friend of us here at Polar Music, Kev Walkman.
What's up? What's up?
You applause.
Roll the claps.
What's up, y'all? Thank you for having me.
How are you doing? I haven't talked to you in a while, besides ranting about how much AJR sucks as an artist.
Yeah, man, I've been pretty good. I've just been way too busy with school, so it's kind of held back the whole music thing for a little while. But I'm graduating soon, and I'm just ready to just kind of focus on music and like some part-time work here and there, you know.
I feel that. All right, so let me give the viewers a quick introduction real quick of how we all came across good old Kevin Walkman. So in college at TCNJ, I was in an a cappella group, iTunes, and we would do occasional concerts with other a cappella groups from different schools. One random concert, you know, we happened to do one with an all-male a cappella group from Temple known as Broad Street Line, repping the merch right here. And, you know, who knows why it happened, who knows how, or, you know, did we want it to happen? Who cares? But my a cappella group fell in love with Kevin's a cappella group. I don't know that it was that much about Kevin's whole group, more so just Kevin. But it became a very big relationship. We kept doing a lot of concerts together. So that was how I met him, just through stuff like that. And then, got to keep hanging out with him, come across him with any music things, or just going to Philly to hang out. And then I found out that he happened to also know my brother. So Nick, how did you meet Kevin?
I knew of Kevin from the a cappella group, obviously, but yes, we both go to Temple University, and our relationship was furthered when we both joined the same floor hockey team. I believe our name was Dangle Snipe Selly.
And we were tough.
We were tough.
And we were tough.
we were so good, and like we would get so hyped up for these games. Like we ran like practices and stuff, but this was right before COVID happened, and like our season got cut short before
you
we could
one game. Like, yeah. We played maybe one game.
Yeah, but that one game though was legendary. We like bullied this one kid on the other team. I remember we we like shit talked about him for like 3 weeks, bro. Like we still had Damn. We were still
he
making
bowed
jokes.
Down to us at the end of the game. He literally got on a knee and bowed down.
Well done. Yeah. Well done. So let me start by asking, who is Kevin Walkman? Who is the person that is Kevin Walkman? Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. I want to clarify that my actual name is Kevin Reeder, but I definitely think that Kevin Walkman is me. I don't think I'm putting on a front. I think it's pretty authentic and organic. Kevin Walkman per se, I guess, is like the more party like ho side of me in a way. I make my own music. I've got 3 songs out right now, and I'm working on a project, which I've been saying for the last like year. But yeah, I write a lot of songs about like college culture, college hookup culture, a little more specifically like within like the LGBTQ community. Just because I don't think it's talked about too much, even though Lil Nas might have a monopoly on this now.
Yeah.
Just in the process of making it, I wanted to write about stuff that like people don't like to sing about too much, you know. And I've really gotten away, for instance, from like using like genderless pronouns, and I actually want to like really attack the issue. And you know, if people don't like it, that's fine, because I don't want like homophobes listening to my music anyway. So, but that's the basic gist of who Kevin Walker is.
Yeah, and that actually perfectly answered what I was going to follow up by asking, was what do you feel is, you know, is there any kind of dissonance between your persona just as a person, like as, you know, Kevin, who you are, versus, you know, what kind of, you know, performance or persona you adapt as an artist. But you kind of already answered that pretty well. So I guess I could add
to it a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, if you could.
Yeah. No, because I think we all like shapeshift a little bit in certain situations. I think that who you are with like the guys that you're playing basketball with is a little different than who you are with the guys you're singing a cappella with, you know? So, I mean, Kevin Walkman is just the very artistic part of who I am. You know, am I acting the same way on stage than I am when I'm like going playing like a pickup hockey or pickup basketball game with my friends? Like, no. But I don't think that means that I'm being like fake or different. It's just this part of me, I just kind of like separated and said, hey, like this part of me is the artist part of me. When in reality, like sometimes I just want to like hang out, play video games, and, you know, just do random dude stuff. Like,
yeah.
And that's totally fair too. I mean, I imagine it'd become extremely exhausting if you always were the onstage artistic Kevin Walkman. Everybody needs some time to just crash on the couch or play basketball, I guess, with the homies.
Sometimes I just want to wear sweatpants. Like,
that's a whole college mood, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's still me. Like, it's still like, and I still show that part. Like I think on like my social media and stuff, I try to be pretty organic too. And like, especially on like my Instagram stories and stuff, like I show the rough sides of me and everything. But at the end of the day, like the performance that I give up on a stage, I'm not gonna be. Everybody does it. Every musician does it. I'm not gonna be wearing like, you know, my sweats and a t-shirt that I'm wearing when it's like a Sunday morning and I'm hungover, just like watching the Phillies or something. Like,
so I will ask then, since you brought up the social media, I feel like I've noticed you becoming more and more of a presence on social media, doing more with it, hitting the fans with this new classic, you know, Meat Reveal Mondays. So what is that something that you feel like you're doing, you know, just having fun doing it because you want to? Is this something that there's intention behind it in trying to build more of a following, or, you know, is it just you doing you?
I think saying that there's an intention to build a following over a Meat Reveal Monday is just hysterical to begin with. It's just me, man. Like, obviously there's a little bit of intention with everything. Like, there are people who like genuinely DM me and they're like, yo, 3 days till Meat Reveal Monday. And like, so it's cool, you know, like it's kind of like a thing. For those listening who don't know
let me clarify real quick.
Yeah. So my friend sent me like a meme one night. We were just like drunk on like a Saturday, just hanging out. And it's just a black screen with white words that says Meat Reveal in 30 minutes. And I'm like, bet I'm gonna put this on my story. So I just kind of decided to run with that. And I was like, what if every week I just started posting like a picture or something of me with a certain type of meat that I was going to be making during the week. And then I took it a step further and made like a video and a jingle that goes with it. So I'm 2 episodes deep in the Meat Reveal Monday. It's going pretty well, but no, it's just fun, man. Like it's just corny ass humor. And like, it just kind of shows a little bit of like a personal side of me. Just like, I get to use some of my like production chops, but I also just get to like mess around and just shit post.
I'd say it's going pretty well. Especially since you're getting messages where like people are like, come on, man, you're going to show us your actual meat or not.
Bro, you'd be so surprised how horny people are in my DMs.
No, I saw you post someone like send you a question. You're like, bro, stop. Like, it's not happening.
I'm like, guys, the point of this is play. Like, I purposely played dumb on my story. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. But yeah, people are horny on Maine, man. Like actively, like fairly. This isn't like me patting myself on the back, I promise. Like, it's the same group of like a dozen people, but like, it's, I'm like, come on, man. Like, let me just have fun with this, like, with this one without you, like, you know. Anyway.
Bro, bro, what do you expect? You're posting Frank Ocean lyrics every other day. You know, you're going
to
get.
I've been trying to stay out of the sad boy hours, all right? No more sad boy hours for now. So, it's spring. The weather's nice.
Do you think you could possibly leak the next meet? What is this week's meet going to be?
Oh,
the people want to know.
More music.
They want to know.
I can leak a little bit of the meet reveal. I will tell you this. I've already got the next two meet reveals planned. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
The next one is going to be with my roommate Rachel, who is a part of the collective team that we work with. She's one of my graphic designers, and she's going to help. She hasn't picked out the meat yet, but she gets to pick it, and she's a vegetarian. So we're gonna get a vegetarian meat because we're all inclusive here at Meat Reveal Mondays. And then next week, Nick from Space is going to be in the meat reveal, and I'm gonna start bringing in like artists, by the way, like small artists and stuff, and they're to help make the jingle. So every jingle is gonna be different. It's gonna be featuring the person that.
Oh, that's awesome!
That's so cool.
That's
awesome.
A great idea. That's cool.
That's a great way to, like, you know, just you're saying you're stumped with school right now, and like that's a great way to get some sort of, you know, musical outlet.
It's also just a cool way to like work with other art. Like, I could reach out to somebody who might not want to like make a song with me, but be like, bro, let's make a meat reveal together.
Yeah.
They might be down to do something that stupid, you know? So it's a cool way to like talk to people and just talk to new artists and stuff. So
yeah.
I'm having fun with it, man.
Good. So you mentioned Nick. I was gonna ask, so who like typically comprises you know, the music that you're putting out? Like, is it just you working on it? Do you have help from other people? Because I know you're a music tech major, right, at Temple?
Yeah.
Are you typically working with like a group of people to do all the mixing and mastering or whatever? Is it a lot of just you?
So most of it goes through Nick. Nick from Space is his producer name, is like one of my best friends, and also does like all co-produces, he mixes and masters pretty much everything that I do. That being said, I do, since I have like a good amount of friends within like the industry, a lot of times if I'm stuck, I just ship it out to a bunch of people, you know, different like producers, different artists, be like, hey, what do you think of this? Like, Where should I go with this? Like, I'm a little stuck on this hook or this bridge or something like that. So their names might not be smacked in the credits of the songs, but I'm still getting help from other people who are writing, and they're doing the same, like reaching out to me with stuff as well. But I will say like 90 to 95% of it is between me and Nick, with Nick doing most of the final mix and the master.
Yeah, so I actually looked you up on Genius, Kevin, because like... One of my, like, we always talk about, like, if we became famous musicians, like, I just would love to have, you know, the Genius page that explains all the
absolutely
lyrics. So, like, I was like, hey, I wonder if Kevin has one. I checked
it. Oh, hell yeah. I filled that shit out immediately, man.
Yeah, bro. I was like, yo, let's go. I was like, I knew he would have had one. But, yeah, so that's Nick Cruz, right? So he's been, like, your best friend for a long time. I was gonna ask how you met, but you sort of went over it.
Yeah, well, we met in the program, actually. I had just released my EP called Under Construction, which was dog shit, if I'm being honest. Like, it was like somewhat catchy, but the production was just horrible. And it was like the end of my sophomore year. And after that, Nick reached out to me and was just kind of like, hey, like, would you want to try to like work together on something? He's like, I'm just super focused on like production. Just as friend, and like we had already been in class together and stuff, so we were chill, but we weren't like really tight friends. And I was like, I was ecstatic that he reached out, because I was like, I know how to write songs, but I can't produce and mix this stuff right now. I'm like, I'm not good enough at it. It's very clear to me. So I was down, and like he had nothing out at the time. So I was going in totally blind, and so was he. So a couple days later, I sent him this little drum loop that I got off of Splice, which is it's kind of like a software that you just pay like a monthly subscription, and there's a bunch of different sounds. Yeah. I sent him this little drum loop and I said, hey, can you write a sexy bass line to this? And about 20 to 30 minutes later, he sent me the bass line that you now hear in Waste Your Time.
Hell yeah.
The rest is kind of history.
And
wow, bro.
Waste Your Time. The title of that song sounds kind of familiar. Does it? It has a few listens on Spotify now, right?
Just a couple.
Yeah, only
just a couple. Just a couple.
At least five. Last time I checked, it was around five or six.
Yeah, it's at least five at this point. Like, there's no way it can be less than five.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna stop dancing around that one, and I wanna give a big congratulations, because another reason we wanted to get Kevin on the show now is because I believe just last week, Waste Your Time hit 1 million streams on Spotify.
Wow,
which is absolutely crazy. I think right now it's sitting at like 1 million, you know, 21,000, something like that.
Bonkers.
Making and releasing Waste Your Time, was it, you know, what went into making this the, you know, huge hit that it ended up being? Was it something that you foresaw? Did it just kind of happen, you know?
Bro, I don't know. Like, if I'm being honest, I went in with the goal of 10,000 streams in 6 months on that song. That was my goal, and I thought that was a little lofty. So I built up a lot of hype around it. One thing that I do a lot behind the scenes, I don't talk about too much. I do a crap ton of social media marketing. This might seem a little cliche, but like, sometimes when I think a song fits well enough to work on like TikTok, like I probably DM'd over 250 people on TikTok.
Really?
Or playlist people that like will post and talk about songs on social media, just constant hours upon hours doing stuff like that. And I did that all pre-release for Waste Your Time. So I had a radio cut version, and would like send them a little piece of it and be like, hey, like, what do you think of this? Like, and most of it is done for free. I mean, a lot of, especially with TikTok, because it's so like organic, and just so raw, and just like people talking, a lot of it is just like some 16-year-old was like, yo, this is cool. Yeah, I'll use this. And then that's it, you know? And then I follow them, they follow me. And then if they need something, I do something for them. But even with that being said, I wasn't expecting it at all. I guess I could tell something was a little different. I posted like a little clip in the music video on my Instagram, and it got like 2,000 views in like a week. And I was getting like 200 likes per like per picture on my Instagram. So I was like, this is weird. And I looked in like all the little like business details, and like people were putting it all over their stories. I was like, all right, shit, maybe this is, maybe something's gonna happen here. And yeah, the first 2 weeks it did about like 6,000 plays, which was bonkers to me at the time. I had about 2,000 monthly listeners. So like, that's averaging everybody listens about three times. So I was like, cool, I'll take that. So I had about like 2,000 people listening, and then the Spotify algorithm caught it for Discover Weekly. And it is still running through that algorithm. And then mixed with that, and then meeting some other people and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, the rest is kind of history. And the numbers went from like 500 plays a day to like 3,000 plays a day.
Yeah,
dude, it was nuts. Like, I feel like I checked like, I don't know, like a couple months ago, and it was at like 500K, and then out of nowhere it hit 1 million, and I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, it's been doing like 100K a month, which is like really bonkers to me.
Yeah, because your Spotify Wrapped at the end of 2020, you were sitting at what, like 790K?
Yeah.
I think.
Something like that. I had also just hit like, and I looked at, I posted a picture about it, cause I was like losing my mind. cause in 2019, which is, I released Waste Your Time in December 2019. So it didn't really count Waste Your Time that much, for the Wrapped. In 2019, I had about 500 monthly listeners. And that's not like average monthly, that's like pretty much total. And at the end of 2020, I had 100,000.
Wow.
Which is just an absolutely insane like change. You can't keep that projection going. It's not possible. But yeah, I mean, I just woke up one day and I kept checking every morning how many streams it had the day before. And one day, instead of like 500, it said, or like 500, like 600, it said like 2.5K. And I immediately called Nick, and I was like, what the hell just happened? I'm like, did you just pay for these streams or something? Like, did you just bought these? I'm like, we said we weren't doing that. That's so fake. And he's like, I didn't do anything. Like, and it just took off.
Yeah. So
that's
awesome. Did seeing the success of that song, did that, you know, change anything for yourself about, you know, what you saw you becoming as an artist? Did the success of the song not impact, you know, what you're doing, or does it feel like it influenced you to want to put more into it? Anything like that?
Oh, I'd be lying if I didn't say it like 100% totally changed the next 5 years of my life. Like me and Nick were doing it for fun. I mean, I wanted like 10K. That was my goal. But like, if it flopped, I wasn't going to be upset. You know, it was just, we were just dicking around and just trying to like create something that sounded cool with a catchy chorus and see if people liked it. You know, maybe my friends at Temple will listen to it a couple of times and we'll go from there, you know? Yeah. And when this started picking up and I started like getting like Spotify followers and I started getting like DMs from like random people saying like, yo, I found your music on Spotify. Like, this is so cool. Please keep making stuff. Like, not one, obviously I'm excited because I'm like, okay, maybe I should be doing this. Like, maybe this is a career path. But it also adds a lot of pressure to, okay, well, this is what the people like. How do I do it again? And I will promise you, the worst thing you can do is try to make another song just like the one you just made, because it'll never be as good. And I learned that the hard way making 330, because I was so super focused on trying to make like an epilogue to Waste Your Time that it just didn't like, while I enjoy the song still, it didn't seem nearly as authentic because it wasn't just for fun anymore. It was like I was trying to force out a song that the Waste Your Time fans would also like.
Yeah. And then we get a total vibe switch with then Oh No following 330. So where did all of that change come from?
Yeah. So 330 never picked up on the Spotify algorithm. Which is like Discover Weekly and like Release Radar and stuff like that, which is a big reason as to why it has like so much less like plays. But I guess right after that, I kind of just had to like take a step back and be like, okay, do this for fun again, like enjoy this process, like make what you want to make. And this was right around the time we were going into like quarantine.
Yeah.
I think around like April or May, I started making Oh No. And I was just at home. I was back in Delaware County and I was just scrolling through Splice again. And I found this little synth pack that I liked. And that main synth on there, on that song came from Splice. So someone could totally remake this song and I would be able to sue them, by the way. But I made it and I added these like really bad drums and sang the chorus over top of it in the first verse and sent it to Nick, and he hated it. He hated it.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, he thought it was like way too poppy. He's like, where are you even going with this? And I was like, shut up, you gotta trust me with this one. And I bullied him into working on it. And one day it just clicked for him. He was like, wait, let's make this a thing. And then we just had fun with it, you know? Like I stopped worrying about like all my songs sounding the same and just wanted to be just authentically myself at that point.
Kev, I feel like it is incredible that you had a moment like that. So like you are so young and so early in your music career and you had a moment like that. Like that I think is going to be huge for you when you continue making stuff and when you release more stuff, because like usually people don't have a moment like that until they're like 10, 15 years into their music careers and they have to do like a complete overhaul. But I think that's huge.
Yeah. I mean, thank you. It's just, I it's a job and it's a business. So there are parts of this that like aren't fun and there are parts of this that are just work. But I have to do whatever I can to not lose my love for making music, because that's the reason I got into this in the first place. I mean, that being said, a lot of what I'm making right now doesn't sound like Oh No either. It sounds a little more like the hoey songs that Waste Your Time and 330 can be. But it's just all about finding like what I like, what I want to perform, how I'm feeling. And yeah, I just want to be happy with what I put out. I don't want to force anything.
Word. Good. All right, so I wanted to ask about the Waste Your Time music video, because I was checking it out the other day, right? And I like scrolled down to the description and it said like there's a bunch of hidden stuff in here, like that'll give clues into Kev's life and other stuff like that. So I took a look and I tried to pick out some things that I thought were maybe like put in there for on purpose. So one of the things I saw was the I'm losing my word, but like was like the focus on the colors in the beginning. So I feel like I saw a lot of blue and a lot of yellow. Like there was a part where like you're walking into the party and your hair, like a part of your hair was yellow and there was yellow on your chest too. And I was like, that's weird. So I picked that out, but then also how it changes from blue and then a more focus on like red towards the middle and the end. So I was just asking if that was anything or if I'm just bullshitting.
So the yellow thing isn't too much. That was just to kind of stick out a little bit, especially because it's a really busy scene when you're in like the party scene there. I will say the kind of like reddish pink color, the blue to kind of like red pink is supposed to kind of it's a little bit of symbolism in the way that this can kind of be for anyone. I didn't want this to be like gendered in a way. I know that I sing about like gay shit, but like But I guess the kind of point was like, it doesn't have to be like a guy with a guy or a girl with a guy. And right off the bat, you have like that blue scene and the door opens and it's pink. It's just kind of totally intersectional is kind of my point. And I kind of show that later when I'm in like the whole like bed scene and I've got like people from everywhere just like throwing hands at me and stuff like that too.
And was the music video something that you had already had in mind to do, or was that more of a response to the, you know, the overwhelming like receiving of the song?
Yeah, the plan was always to make a music video. In fact, I recorded the first part of the video, which is that one take where you walk through the party into my room and then back out, like when I'm like drunkenly walking through my, which is actually my living room at the time. I recorded that before this in like October, and the song was released in December.
Yeah, because I was gonna say I felt like I remembered almost being at your house for the music video recording.
I snapped a bunch of people. I was like, I'll give you pizza and drinks if you guys come pretend to party at my house.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if the one time that iTunes came to hang out at your house, I couldn't remember. It was either, I think, right before it or right after it that you had filmed the music video, because I remember talking about it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, dude, I feel like I remember it being on your story or something, and I was like, shit, maybe I should head over.
No, it was cool. I got such a positive reaction too. Like, I just did a couple of days in advance and I got like 20 people, obviously pre-pandemic, to come over and just kind of exist and just like party and stuff. I know everybody by name in the music video. I could point out every single person, which was really cool to have people.
Stays to his roots.
I gotta say, I think like everyone did a good job, because like normally, you know, some people struggle with being acting normal in front of a camera. Yeah.
No, they did pretty good. There's one part in that scene where I'm walking through like the living room that my friend Alex, who I pass by at the, like when I'm in the hallway part, is just like staring dead into the camera as they pan by.
I saw that too. I was like, shit, Kevin might be pissed about that, but they left.
It was just whatever. And plus, it was by far the best take, because that's like, if I messed up one time during that take, we had to start all over again from the beginning, because it's like a 2-minute shot all the way through, which was really, it was really difficult to record, because like, I remember no one knew the words of the song. But I'd be trying to get like real serious in my room before the video, because I'm supposed to be like buttoning up my shirt, and someone just left my room. So it's supposed to be me like just finishing hooking up with someone, and I'm like just putting my clothes back on. And everyone in the living room, all 20 people, as I'm trying to get like my serious like Kev Walkman face on, is going, "Done it, just like that, just singing the bass line. And I'm geeking in my room about it. So it was so like I couldn't get it together, and then we'd have to start all over again at the beginning because I couldn't get my face straight. Like,
dang.
But it was so much fun to record, especially with people I was so comfortable with.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
I feel like that'd make it even harder. I know as a fact that if somebody told me I needed to keep a straight face while doing some specific stuff, walking through my own house with all of my friends there, especially these two Muppets over here, I would not be able to do it.
It's called you don't make eye contact with anybody in the party scene. Yeah, you just stare at the camera the entire way.
I've always thought like it'd be so cool to shoot a music video, but here I am. I could barely keep it together in front of, you know, my high school when I was in Legally Blonde for 5 seconds.
Yeah, you can't jump rope either, buddy.
You don't got to bring that up.
I got leaked footage of this dude getting his jump rope stuck around another person's jump rope. This is why you weren't in Kevin's music video, Nick. He knew about it.
Hey, that was one of four showings, bro. I did it perfectly in the three other ones.
The one I went to, you didn't.
Yeah. And it just happened to be the one my future girlfriend was at too. And she saw the whole thing.
Wonderful. Obviously the pandemic has affected, you know, every aspect of life, but I feel like it's been especially big in impacting a lot of things revolving music. I know along with the all the COVID stuff happening, you've had some stuff go on, like with the truck and whatever you did to your ankle or your foot or whatever. You got pretty accident prone over COVID. How has like all that stuff impacted not only like your ability to make music, but you know, what is going into your music and like what kind of stuff you're making?
Yeah, man. All right. For those who don't know, in June, right during the making of Oh No, like smack in the middle of like recording and stuff, I got in a car accident. I tried to swerve out of the way of a deer and flipped my dad's truck about 5 times off the side of a highway in the middle of the night. I managed to leave the hospital that night with nothing other than like a bunch of blood and like some glass, like, and it just kind of, I guess at that point I hadn't fully decided to do this whole music thing like full 100%. And then like when you like see death that close to you at one point, you just kind of say like screw it, you know. Like, I'm just at the point in my life now where I'm like, life is so like fragile, and in a split second, like you can just die. So, and I realized that, like, I went through it. Like, I lived through that, like that feeling of like, am I going to survive this? Yeah. So at that point, it just kind of made me want to work harder, just want to do this. Cause I'm like, I don't want to die 30, 40, 50 years from now, and regret not giving this a shot. So it honestly kind of gave me a better perspective musically. I don't really feel like going through it again. I think I got the perspective all locked down now.
Yeah.
But that, and then like pandemic wise, I mean, I didn't get to perform live. It would have been cool to play Waste Your Time live when it was like at its peak. But I didn't have much music out, and it gave me the chance to like meet people online and do things online a lot more. So like I really can't complain too much about it, if I'm being honest. It slowed down making my own music for sure, because I couldn't see Nick in person for a while when we were at the things. And I pretty much do everything with him. So it definitely slowed it down a little bit. But like, because of everything being online, like more people are more willing to like meet over Zoom and do stuff like that, and that's how I got like Mickey Darling on the song. I mean, they're from Austin, Texas, and
oh really?
Yeah, they're not local at all.
Oh, I just assumed
I was just gonna ask about that. I was just gonna ask how you got in touch with them, because looking at their little thing, I can only assume they went from there.
Yeah. So I was I had made Oh No. You know, we had me and Nick had worked on that, and we wanted a feature. I was like, this feels like a feature song. Let's find somebody on here. And like, we mentioned a couple different artists here and there. And like, I think I reached out to like one artist and I didn't hear anything back. And I was like, all right, whatever. Like, no big deal. So I went to my fans also like page on Spotify, and one of the top artists was Nicki Darling. And I was like, I've never heard of these guys before. So I looked up their page and they just released a song called Antidote, and it was sick. I was like, this is really cool. And I listened to a couple more of their like bigger songs. And a lot of them were just like, they were very classic, like indie boy band songs. And I was like, this vibe fits so well for like what I'm looking for.
Sure.
And they look like, I looked up their Instagram, they look like absolute goons. So I was like, all right, let me reach out. And I mean, they were bigger than me at the time. Like they had like, at that point I was probably at like 30K monthly listeners and they were probably like 100K. So I'm like, there's no way they say yes, but like, let's just try it, you know? And Skylar, the main, like the lead singer of the group, is one of the nicest guys like I've ever talked to in the music industry. And they got back to me almost immediately and were like, this is awesome. Like, let's do it. And within like 2 weeks, they sent us like 50 audio files of just like ad libs and them just like yelling and laughing over it and like singing a bunch of random stuff. And the rest is history. But I'm actually planning on going either. Me and Nick are going to go down to Austin, or they're going to come up to Philly at some point in the summer so we can actually like hang out.
Awesome.
That'd be dope, man.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, you know, what kinds of things could people expect on any kind of near horizon, maybe more long-term things you might have in mind? What are you thinking?
Yeah, so I am definitely releasing an EP in 2021. I will say that. That is a certain. I can't not do it. I want an actual project out. There will be singles released before that. The first one is probably going to be a song called It's Complicated with a little frowny face at the end.
You don't see that too often. Yeah. That's original.
Get those emojis in music. Let's go.
So I don't want to set a timeline because I want to like, I don't want to just make a song, push it out, release the song, and not know what I'm doing afterwards. So I have probably 3 or 4 songs that are about 70% to 80% done right now. And I just, some of them don't fit with others. And I just want to, I'm going to sit down soon and just plan, okay, here's what I want on here. I'm going to make a couple more songs and then plan out release schedules throughout the rest of the year. But you're definitely going to be hearing more music from me. I would say it might be a couple months, if I'm being honest. Because even if the song was done today, you got to give Spotify like 5 weeks before it's even like ready to to ship out if you want a chance at like editorial playlists and stuff like that. So I'm saying I'm probably looking at like June, July, hopefully, is what I'm looking at. But I really, really can't wait to put out something else. I'm sick of the same 3 songs.
Let's go, man.
You mentioned performing live. Is that something that you really want to do? Is that something that could be a potential concert or even just hanging out thing?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm half vaccinated right now. I get my next shot in 4 days. I get my second, and hopefully, like, once everybody starts getting their shots, like small concerts can be a thing again. I love performing. I've always felt most comfortable like on a stage, so like it doesn't really scare me. Like it's like the thought of like singing my own songs in front of people like doesn't. I don't really get that nervous with it, I guess. So that's something I really, really want to do. But to be honest, it has been nice not having to worry about like booking and stuff like that during the pandemic. So, but I am really excited. Hopefully, especially when this EP comes out, I'll be able to start performing at some small venues and stuff.
Hey, count me in, bro. Count me in, front row in the mosh pit.
Listen, that's going to be super cool. I know John has his first shot. I'm getting mine actually tomorrow morning.
Yo, what vaccine though? Important question. What vaccine you got, Kevin?
For me, I got the Pfizer.
Moderna gang all the way.
What are as you long getting? As it's not Johnson, bro. Nobody gets the Johnson.
No Johnsons over here.
Yo, all my homies hate Johnson & Johnson.
My homies hate the Johnson.
My homies hate Johnson & Johnson.
Stop throwing shade at Miss Vickiner, all right?
Shout out Vicky. Let's go. Anyway, that'll be super cool. I'd love to have you back when you got that EP out, and maybe even by then we could maybe do it in person. We'll have you in the stew. We'll fly
that'd
out
be great.
To California to beautiful studio out there.
Yeah, man. I mean, awesome. your background looks phenomenal right now.
Yeah, we're actually state of the art. Pellegrino. Yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Thanks for noticing.
Yeah, I just had to bring it up for you. So
thank you, man. Thank you.
This doesn't have to be in the video, but I was going to ask what song is playing at the beginning of the Waste Your Time video, if it's anything else.
So that was it's called You Busy. And it was originally an intro track to the EP that I had planned that was going to include Waste Your Time and 330.
That so I did catch something, huh?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. And it's a very clean transition into the song, which I really liked.
It is, yeah.
Because it's the same drum sample, that's why. I don't think it'll ever see the light of day. So it's only really going to be... you're only really going to be able to hear it in that music video. But yeah, there's a little Easter egg for you. That was a song that was going to be on an EP at some point in time.
Let's go, man.
Nicky figured something out.
Let's go.
Let's fucking go.
I'm proud of myself. Got an Easter egg hunter.
We're proud of you too, Nick. Looking all spiffy in your suit. Cutie.
Yeah, I wish I could talk to, industry professionals as well as I can talk to you guys.
I'm sure you're fine, Nicky.
Did he just call us unprofessional? I think he just called us unprofessional.
Dang.
No, wow. No.
I'm look, I didn't like... see it like that. I don't want to listen. I know we're paused right now, so I'm gonna say
pause,
Kevin
bro.
Kevin with the. Oh, we're not. Listen, Kevin, throwing shade at me for my corny joke in the beginning of this podcast, and then in the very like first 30 seconds, you're making corny jokes. Get out of my face, buddy. I'm offended.
Points were made.
Offended.
Hey, we learn here on Polar Music, all right? We learn.
Yes, we do. We learn here on Polar Music. Wait, we got to learn something. Kevin, how do you do your hair in the morning? Let's just play by play. What's your morning routine?
Yeah, man, it's shower. My hair's a disaster right now, so don't jeez, don't think about this one.
Not true.
Shower, towel dry, put some little like putty in my hair, in my hands, mix that up a little bit, throw it
nice
in the back.
Suavecito.
Yeah. Fix it up in the back, shake it to see if it stays in place. It usually doesn't. And I just go with it anyway. And that's it. No comb necessary. Just hands, putty comb. And vibes. Just
all right.
Hands, no putty and vibes.
Let's
no
go.
Comb,
just
first,
vibes, bro.
This message has been brought to you by Anti-Comb Gang.
Yo,
we
hate
combs.
Hate combs.
I'm telling you right now, that's going in the description of this episode. Anti-Comb Gang and what was it? What did you just say?
Anti-corny jokes.
No. The three things.
Me destroying Kevin.
Oh,
basketball.
No. He said hands, putty, and vibes.
Yeah,
hands, putty, and vibes.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's all that's needed to fix up this hair, man.
Yo, make a song out of it. Make a song out of it.
You heard it here first. Hands, putty, and vibes brought to you by Anti-Comb Gang. And this has been Polar Music, and you already know we're cool.
You guys stay chilling.
Hey.
Let's go, baby.